God's lesson for today comes from Luke 23. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, today, you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Today is Christ the King Sunday. First Tim spoke of the power and the kingship of Jesus. It's also the Sunday we present our response cards in support of the 2011 budget we recommended last Sunday at our congregation meeting. It's a special Sunday in the life of the whole church and in the life of our congregation. So, why a passage about the crucifixion? Why focus on that on Christ the King Sunday, on Commitment Sunday, or on any Sunday other than during Lent? Is that positive, or appropriate, or wise, or happy, or whatever Christ the King and or Commitment Sunday are supposed to be? We better answer those questions, or both the Worship Committee and the Stewardship Committee are going to want to see me after the service. This is the last Sunday in the liturgical year of the church. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of the church year. Church year follows the life of Jesus, and here on the last Sunday of that calendar, we find Jesus on the cross talking about paradise today. Now, to help us understand this and to give us energy to ask that question and answer it, consider this. The thief on the cross next to Jesus asked Jesus for mercy and to remember him. He didn't agree with the thief on the other side of Jesus, who was joining with all the religious leaders and the soldiers in mocking Jesus. Rather, he recognized Jesus' innocence in the face of his own guilt, and he gave voice to what everybody there knew. This man has done nothing wrong. Somehow, in some way, the one thief knew that Jesus was not finished with this life or with this world, but rather was coming into his kingdom. And he wanted to be there with Jesus. So, just where was it he wanted to be? He wanted more than simply to be off that cross. He wanted to be with Jesus, or at least be remembered by Jesus when Jesus was recognized for all that he was. Now, you and I are so familiar with this account that we forget to marvel at. One would think that the only desire a person person being crucified would have was to have it over with. Who would or could be thinking of the future, much less somebody else's future? And yet, he asked Jesus, think of me when you receive all you truly deserve. What we hear from Jesus tells us both why the thief asked Jesus for mercy and what Jesus knew his kingdom to be. The thief asked because he believed that Jesus was still in control. Why ask for anything from someone who can't give it to you? It's foolish and it's mean. Well, it's too late for that thief to be foolish. And we know he wasn't mean. He warned his fellow thief to be quiet and respect God by not taunting Jesus. And following that, Jesus described what his kingdom shall be. Paradise. And in the process of all this, he defines paradise. He granted the request to be remembered with much more than that thief ever expected. Today, you will be with me in paradise. I will not forget you. I will take you with me forever. There on the cross, Jesus, in obvious control, even during that awful suffering, granted the thief the promise of salvation. There was no cost. The thief had nothing to offer. What a picture of saved by grace and grace alone. There certainly was not any other way for the thief, and neither is there any other way for us. The point of saved by grace is not, we would if we could, but we can't. The point is, there isn't any other way needed or necessary. Big difference. And all that adds up to defining paradise as knowing that we are remembered by Jesus and will never be without him ever. That is living in paradise today. Now, who but Jesus could or would give trumpet to another person in such a time and place as a multiple crucifixion? And yet, he did it. And in that act, paradise overpowered perdition. And heaven vanquished hell. And a guilty thief joined Jesus in their heavenly Father's presence. Now, the thief didn't have a lot of time to think about it. In desperation, he asked. And with grace, it became a fact, an eternal fact, with just a few words from Christ. The thief had no time to respond, no time to be thankful, no time to share it with those he loved and those who loved him. He had no time to answer the grace of God with the grace he learned from God. To be sure, he went to heaven. But he had no time to leave behind some of God's mercy for those he loved or cared for or for whom he was responsible. A great example of saved by grace, not by works, but still a tragedy of a life wasted. And much less than it could have been. You and I have it much better than that thief. To be with Jesus must have been a wonder, even during that short and terrible time. But we have time to respond. Not because we've earned it by not being thieves or staying out of trouble or somehow being worthy. Remember, saved by grace.
Rather, you and I are granted the privilege and the pleasure to remember Jesus, to be a part of his kingdom, his paradise. As Jesus' answer to remember me is, today you will be with me in paradise, then remembering Jesus recognizes what paradise is all about. And we can do that here. Now, and so be living in paradise. The question is how? And the answer is stewardship in the biggest and broadest sense of the word. I saved a copy of the Tower of News. And I want to quote from it. I want to paraphrase what one of our deacons said. He's an elder now. His name is Jeff Ostrom. As good stewards, we are called upon to thank God by offering a portion of our time and talents as well as our treasure. It is amazing to reflect upon the many ways our members use their time and talents to do Christ's work. Just as our building needs each stone in order to stand, so our church needs the time, talents, and treasure of each one of us to continue building the kingdom of God, which is part paradise. Everyone's help is needed if we are to grow as an active, caring, and involved congregation. And we do remember Jesus, and we do celebrate him as Christ the King with these various forms of stewardship. It's a varied, it's a balanced response from the three basic food groups of stewardship, time, talents, and treasure. So think with me a little bit about the time that we offer to God. There's worship, and that's valuable time. It certainly is not the case of, I wasn't doing anything, so I came to church. You know, we could sleep in. Read the balance checkbook, read book, cook something special, wash the dog, whatever else we either wanted to do or have to do. But instead, we come to worship. We come when we're tired, when we're sad, when we're busy, when we're depressed, when we're happy, or relaxed, or worried, or grateful, and or hopeful. And we offer that time in which we remember Jesus. And God responds to us and remembers us and sends us his Holy Spirit to give us a taste of paradise. And that we know he remembers us now and forever in his kingdom. Now what else, what less could convince us to come on a Sunday morning? A day between the week that was and the week that's going to be. When we could either be resting up from last week or getting recharged for next week. Nothing less than paradise. Which we have defined as being remembered and remembering Jesus Christ. And then there's the time of team worship. During that time, people go to work. Some like the choir rehearse during the week so that what they offer on Sunday morning can be their best. The rest of us come and listen on Sunday to what they have prepared and so to participate in their offering made possible by what they did to get ready and made possible by us being here. Because worship leaders without worshipers are not worship leaders. Our stewardship of time is both much and amazing. And then there's our stewardship of talents. We just had a congregational meeting and we heard and we saw our various committees, summaries of past work and future plans. And it's always amazing to total up the talents of those who make up the church. Sometimes we simply expect that the building will be open and warm and clean and the bulletins folded and stuff, the choir ready and the deacons in position and the sound system on and the coffee made and the Sunday school fair. And none of that is possible without the talents and the dedication of a lot of people being offered and used in the kingdom of God. And that's only Sunday morning. At the congregation meeting with the committee reports and the PowerPoint presentation, we saw the many talents it takes to make the Second Reformed Church the Second Reformed Church. Since everybody can't do everything, with each doing what they can, that blend is amazing. Give some thought and give some thanks after looking around at what it takes people-wise to make us who and what we are. And there is something that everybody can do. We can all give of our treasure. We can't all give the same amount, same percentage, but we can all give. And Jesus makes the attitude of gratitude the important factor in what and how we give. With all kinds of parables and examples, Jesus noted that it was the cheerfulness of the giver that counted with God, not in love. We can be cheerful as we give what we can, but we cannot be cheerful if we give only what we feel we ought to or have to, or give in ways that have strings or messages attached. Grateful or cheerful giving has to have integrity. It has to be complete within itself, or it isn't cheerful and it won't be blessed. And we've given. Here we are in November, just about to enter the best giving season of the church's year. With all the planning by the consistory and administration by the staff, can't make a budget work without funds. Treasure. This year, with careful planning, with administration, support of the congregation, we've even planned for next year, and we can do it. Now, conventional fundraising technique says that I should not really say that people will stop giving, that I should paint some bleak, dismal picture so that folks will feel guilty and frightened and embarrassed. I don't think so. And I hope not. So here goes. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you will do. We have been able to carry on the life and the work of the Second Reformed Church because we gave of our treasure. People work to make money, and then they decide what to do with it. What we do with our treasure has to do with what we value, with what is important to us. And that makes our work, the way we support and value and encourage what we value, what we want to see as the result of our work. I don't have to tell you that work's not always fun or easy or something to look forward to. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't. But we can take the results of work, that treasure, and turn it into something we value. We can express our support of whatever we choose. We can share ourselves, our work, our love, by how we spend our treasure. Together, that's what we do with some of our treasure throughout the year through the Second Reformed Church. And so I'll say again, thank you. It is another way we have remembered Jesus remembering us. And that is nothing short of what we define as paradise. Imagine that. With our time, with our talents, with our treasure, we remember that Jesus remembers us as much as he remembered that thief on the cross next to him. We are not crucified with it. But we do have the opportunity and the pleasure of sharing Jesus remembering us and offering to remember others and always. And that is paradise today. Christ is King. And we rule with Him by means of our commitment. That's living in paradise now. And commitment is hard. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word, which tells us that Jesus Christ is life, and how our lives may be lived pleasing to you by following Him. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may join with all your children in being faithful to your word.